So, are you gonna time yourself, or would you like someone to help time?
10 and 5.
Is anybody timing?
I'll do it.
Oh, thanks. Okay, please help me in welcoming Renee.
Thank you. My name's Renee, and I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, I did that at an AA meeting once, a big, huge AA meeting, and I got up to read the 12 traditions, and I said, my name's Renee, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I mean, and it was like, but you know, it was good, because some people needed to hear that. So what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. What it was like is, there's that question, are we born a compulsive overeater, is it circumstantial, whatever it is. I believe I was, whatever it was, I was born with, at the very least, the propensity to be a compulsive overeater. I was born into a family where food was the drug of choice. And what it was like was like I was born, you know? I mean, that was, because from as far back as I can remember, I was a compulsive overeater. Food was first and foremost in our lives. And from a very early age, I craved food. I was looking for food. It was the focus of my days. I was always a pudgy kid. Later on in life, I sort of realized that some of that was somewhat normal and some of it wasn't. And it had varying degrees of being overweight. It was compounded, though, by my father is a compulsive overeater, I think. At the very least, he's completely obsessed with food and has always been on diets and put me on a diet at a very young age. They never, ever worked, ever. I would be weighed every week. He would weigh me every week. And so there was this obsession that, not just with food, with body image and with all of that, that took place. I'm not blaming him for it. It's just the circumstances. I've actually made tremendous peace with my dad, miraculous peace with my dad as a result of these steps. He's 91 now, and we have a wonderful relationship. My mom is still alive too. She's 88, and she also came from a family where food was a big deal, but it didn't manifest itself in the same way with her. She was somehow able to control it in her adult life, and actually found this program later on and kind of works it in her own creative way, but it works for her. And so this went on and on, and I would fantasize, you know, if only I would be thin, then everything would be okay. You know, I'd think I'll start a diet, you know, tomorrow or Monday or whatever, or I'd be watching Charlie's Angels, and you know, if I can just lose weight, Kate Jackson will marry me, you know, and that kind of thing. That was my, I was just obsessed with wanting to be thin. Two things actually, which kind of went hand in hand: wanting to be thin, and then girls would like me, and not realizing that I was probably okay the way I was to a degree. And it had nothing to do with all that, that there was something inside that was wrong. There was something inside that I felt different. I always felt different. I always felt less than. I lived in total fantasy world of in all sorts of ways, of being the hero, of doing this, of doing that. I mean, it was just all the time. And this, you know, went on through elementary school, junior high, high school, college, all of it. In high school, I found drugs and alcohol, so that compounded everything. And another thing was, I'll skip it. I don't know if it's even pertinent to any of this, but what happened also when I became a real pothead, that posed a serious problem with compulsive overeating or not, depending on how you looked at it, was because I would eat voracious amounts of food. I mean, I just would have this appetite that was never ending and uncontrollable and go crazy. So now, okay, not just if only I stopped smoking pot, then I can lose weight and da-da-da, you know, all down the list. And I also found bulimia as a result of that, because I would get so full. The only thing I knew how to, I didn't know how to do, but I decided to do was to throw up and get rid of all of it. and then start over again. There were times actually throughout all of this, there were times I would lose weight. And how overweight was I? I don't know, 30, 40 pounds, something like that, maybe 50 at the most, but I don't know, probably 30 or 40. And what kept me from, you know, being more, I don't know if it was vanity, I don't know if it was youth, I don't know what it was, but somehow that's what it was. There is obesity in my family. And finally, when I was 21, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and she had a friend, and I'm from LA, and I was living in LA at the time, and she had a friend who had a friend who had lost like 150 pounds in LA. He was my age. And so the friend told her, hey, you know, and told me actually at the same time, you know, this friend, blah, 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 and you know, you might want to try OA. And it wasn't because necessarily it was because I was always obsessing about being heavy, you know, always, 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 and I couldn't ever lose the weight. And that's why I thought, oh, okay, and they warned me about the God thing, you know. And now, taking a step back, I was looking for some kind of higher power, oddly. I mean, I grew up in a Jewish home, very kind of conservative Judaism, and going to temple every Friday night. My parents sang in the choir. It was rammed down my throat. Had to do it. Again, this is sort of on my dad's upbringing. And so I had a love-hate relationship with it. I hated it because it was forced on me. I loved it because there were certain aspects of it where I really felt a connection. Like when I'd read the prayer book, or when I'd really follow the service as opposed to zoning out and fantasizing about my flag football game the next day or whatever, or the Oneg Shabbat with all the pastries and all of that. Oh, so my brother and sister and I, and if we had a friend with us, we'd run into the social hall before anybody else would get there, and all the women from the sisterhood would guard the tables of cookies because they knew that we were going to devour half of them before everybody else got in there. And so this was, you know, our favorite part of going to Shabbat services, because we just, I mean, binge on all the cookies and cakes and all of that. But anyway, but I felt this connection. When I would follow all of this, somehow I felt a peace. There was something that would come over me, and I didn't know what it was. I mean, I was quite young, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, all of that. Even my bar mitzvah speech, I don't remember too much, had a lot about God in it. And so this kind of followed me until, you know, other things, not knowing it, food was my higher power, but when actually, you know, pot and alcohol became my higher powers, and I became this devout agnostic. And then I kind of came back to a place where I was looking for something spiritual. And literally, when I kind of asked that question, like a day later, this OA thing came to me. And they're warning me about the God thing, right? These people who weren't OA, but who were. So I went to my first meeting. I don't remember, it was August or September of 1984. I was 21, and it was in LA in the San Fernando Valley, and I walked in there and I felt at home. Suddenly, they're talking about. I didn't talk about how I never thought I could lose weight. Nothing worked. Nothing ever worked. I always felt different. I wondered why other people could eat, or seemingly could eat, whatever they wanted, and wouldn't gain weight. Well, they could do that, but they weren't eating and eating and eating and eating, right? But how I had no willpower, no nothing, no control over many different foods, but particularly sugar. But at the time, I didn't really recognize that. I just didn't know what, you know, which end was up. And I came in there and I heard my story over and over and over again, and then some. And there was the room filled with people who were compulsive overeaters. And then they talked about the God thing and the higher power, and they said it could be anything you want to be. It's not the God that I grew up with. And that hit home. This was like the answer to that prayer. I was this search for something spiritual. And it was one of the most profound moments in my life. And at the break, It was an hour and a half meeting, and there was a break. This woman came up to me at the literature table and introduced herself. Barbara is her name, Barbara O, Barbara Overman. And she's still in OA to this day. She's got nearly 40 years of abstinence. We're still in touch. And she was so kind, so lovely, and so loving, and chatted with me, and then pointed me to a guy named Ira, who had a year of abstinence at the time, also still in program, also still abstinent. He's like a 100, 200 pounder. And I chatted with him. And I remember it was my girlfriend at the time. We left, thank you, and we went to this movie. And I was sitting there in the movie theater and looking at all the literature and just going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm home. This is the answer. This is amazing. And it was, now I would love to say, and that's it, and this is what it's like now. Well, that's not quite what happened. It took me about 9 months because I had to get sober as well, or it couldn't work. I remember I took a 60-day chip drunk out of my mind. And then in 85, I finally did. My first abstinence was just no binging. I had to find something that would work, that was completely unrestrictive. Because for me, I came from an extremely restrictive past. I mean, it was anything that smacked of diet, anything that had that, forget it. And for a long time, it worked. It worked for a very long time, actually. It was very loosey-goosey, and somehow it worked. And then at 14 years of abstinence, somehow I decided, you know, it's not working. I'm not really working this. And you know, I'd put on weight. I'd taken off the 30, 35 pounds, and I was starting to put it back on, and, you know, kind of a message is this giving, and da-da-da. And with all the best intentions in my life, I decided that I was going to start over, and I announced it at one of my meetings down there. And after the meeting, a guy came up to me, Father Frank, another stalwart down there, and came to me and said, you know, are you sure you want to do this? Yeah, it's fine. Really? I mean, why don't you just dive back into programming? No, I'm going to do it. And I had no intentions of going out and binging or any of that stuff. And sure enough, I went out and started binging my brains out on things I hadn't eaten in years and years. I hadn't abstained completely from sugar. I wasn't abstaining completely from anything. But I was eating sugar like I had never eaten, probably since I had been stoned. I mean, I was going crazy. And I was out. I didn't leave OA entirely, I mean, but I couldn't get abstinent for many, many years. And I don't do anything until the pain gets bad enough. And finally, 2 years ago in June, I had among the worst. Oddly, I was visiting in LA when it happened, and I just thought, that's it. And the next morning, I walked into a Sunday morning meeting and surrendered, and that was June 29th. And this time, my abstinence is no sugar, period. End of subject. It is absolutely my heroin. It's actually absolutely my drug of choice. I put it in the same category as all of that. I have dreams where I've eaten sugar and I wake up, oh my God, thank God. You know, just like I do with drugs and alcohol, that I'm not, you know, I'm still abstinent today. It gives me a clarity that I haven't had before. I became willing to really work the steps of Overeaters Anonymous and to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous. And to take this as seriously as I do my other addictions. It's my drug of choice. It goes there. I don't get to enough OA meetings. They don't fit into my life, okay? So I want the Marin OA to now do everything around the life of Renee Mandel. It's a warning sign to me, because I have to show up. That one of my favorite meetings is this meeting, and the Monday morning meeting. And Monday morning meetings, it conflicts with work and it wreaks havoc. But you know, also spiritual, emotional, and maybe even physical death will wreak havoc in my life too. And so maybe I can get to that meeting a little more. So that's some of the stuff that I'm working on right now to do. I pray every morning. I don't meditate every day. It's something that I'm working towards. I do something. Higher power is at the core of my life. It's at the core of everything. I'm not it. So whatever it is something outside of me, within me and outside. I have a sponsor that I work with. I don't always call her. I have an intimacy issue. which I know is a real surprise for so many of us in here. But I like to keep everything to myself in a lot of ways, or I like to talk about, you know, all sorts of crap that doesn't really, you know, have anything to do with the solution. So I'm starting to commit things more. The thing about the food, I'll just come back to, it's step one, is that I have a tendency to think that, okay, I'll do this for a while and then everything's gonna be fine and then I don't have to call in my food, right? I'm gonna do this and then I don't really have to plan my food. And every single time I let that go, my food gets a little, you know, this, that, and the other, the clarity goes away, the weight starts creeping up, and all of this stuff. And honestly, it's not about, in a way, it's not about the weight. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that I have a terrible amount of vanity, but it's not the fact is what happens, thank you, I'll wrap this up. What happens is it comes back to, I get on my knees and I go, I don't care what weight I am. I just want to be happy, joyous, and free. I really don't care. If I am abstinent, I am clear. It's whatever weight God wants for me. That's really what the deal is. Because left to my own devices, I'll either be 50 pounds overweight or I'll be 20 pounds underweight and not think I'm, which I've never been, by the way, but I'd like to try that one day. So, but actually I was, when I first came in, I did lose a tremendous, and I got to a point where people thought I was too skinny. I don't know if I was underweight or not, but at that point I still wanted to lose another 5 or 10 pounds, you know. So I know that whole game. But I'm one of us 100%, and there's no other place to go. There's no other place, despite what my disease tries to tell me, that I got this, I can do it, and I can't. So I'm really glad I was asked to speak here today. Thank you all very much.